This episode is sponsored in part by Address Validator. Did you know incorrect addresses cost U.S. businesses $20 billion every year? That's $216,000 on average per company, just gone thanks to failed deliveries. Think about that extra re-delivery fee, the handling costs, and worst of all, unhappy customers who might never return. But here's the good news. Address Validator has your back. It integrates seamlessly with Shopify to catch and correct address errors before they become costly problems. Every day, it validates over 300,000 orders and prevents more than 11,000 failed deliveries for brands like Sennheiser, Helly Hansen, and even Kylie Cosmetics. And it's a no-brainer to try. You can validate shipping addresses on your first 100 orders for free, no strings attached. Plus, you could track exactly how much you're saving in the Address Validator dashboard. So stop letting bad addresses drain your revenue. Head to the Shopify App Store and get Address Validator today. Today, we're going to be talking March Madness. Specifically, we're going to be going behind the scenes of one Shopify store that has been riding that wave like a pro. Megan Smalley is the founder of Scarlet and Gold, and they're one of the only female-led businesses that have an NIL license. That's name, image, likeness. And so we're going to get into that and discover how that's helped them grow tremendously year over year. I believe the exact number is 87.6% growth. That's incredible. And so I want to hear more about it. I'm your host, Kurt Elster, and joining me now is Megan Smalley from Scarlet and Gold. Megan, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled to have you here. And I want to start at the beginning. How did Scarlet and Gold come to be?
I started this as a side hustle. I was in full-time pharmaceutical sales back in 2013, and I've always had an entrepreneur spirit and started different things, and honestly never thought this would be more than a creative outlet for me. And then fast forward 3 months later, I got laid off from my pharmaceutical job. And so in that time of severance, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to grow this. I'm also going to look for other jobs and see what happens. And in that time period, we had a partnership with a pretty large influencer, and it helped put us on the map. And fast forward 12 years later, and we're still here. And this is my full-time gig, and I have over 30 employees. So did not dream this is where it would be, but here we are.
So has this store always been on Shopify?
Always, from the beginning, yes.
Why'd you go with Shopify?
When I was doing my research back then, and it's held true even today, it's the most robust platform for e-commerce. It's user-friendly. If they don't offer it internally at Shopify, they can connect you with someone that does. So there's been times where we needed development on our actual website or an app to install, and they are able to point us in the right direction. So that's why.
Tell me about NIL merch. What's NIL?
So it stands for name, image, and likeness. And now with the change over the last couple years, back when, you know, I was in college and my brother was an athlete at Auburn, the athletes couldn't be gifted anything. But now with the change of the rules, businesses can gift players, you can partner with them to promote your product. You can do partnerships with them. So it's using players' image, name, image, and likeness in your business or for marketing in your business and paying them in return.
So how'd you stumble into that? How'd you get involved?
Well, I mean, essentially, we've always been doing this, but not in the college player aspect. So I would say what put us on the map, like for my business, Scarlet and Gold, is gifting, influencer gifting, before it was even a thing. So we used to reach out to former Bachelor winners or contestants and different people that had big social media platforms, bloggers, and still do. Like, gifting has always been a part of our business, and partnering with different influencers has been hugely a huge part of our growth. You used to not be able to do that with college athletes. And so now you can. It's called NIL. It's not called influencer gifting, but it essentially at its core is what it is. It's partnering with an influencer and paying them to use their platform.
So are we paying them in product or are we paying them?
So every deal is different. We have structured our deals that it's a percentage of sales. So we're not paying them unless the product sells, so that they have an incentive to move merchandise to. But every deal that they do is different. So
does this start as product seeding? It sounded like it starts as product seeding. We just go, hey, you know, we like you. We like what you do. Can we send you some stuff?
Yes. I mean, I would say, so Auburn is our hometown school. So players on Auburn teams are much more aware of who we are because we're a local business and we've partnered. I mean, we're the number 10, I think, licensee for Auburn. However, at other schools, it would absolutely start as that because it's an intro. Like, hey, here's who we are. I want you to touch and feel our product. This is why we're different than everyone else who's reaching out to you. Here's what we can do for you. See what we did for this player. So I think product seeding is a great way to introduce yourself to any influencer, but specifically a player, because it has to be, the NIL deals have to be a two-way street. Like, we have to want them, they have to want us. And so they need to know who you are and why they should work with you to begin with.
And, you know, I foolishly, I don't think we have addressed what it is you sell.
Yeah. Okay. So at its core, we create merch, apparel, and accessories that people actually want to wear. We do that in the game day space. So we are licensed by over 24 different universities. And then we also do custom merch too. So for organizations, businesses, players, schools, we will create custom collections. We do bulk orders for businesses and things like that too. So what differentiates us in the market is, I mean, there's a lot of NIL platforms out there that create merch for players. In my opinion, most of it's ugly and not merch that people actually want to wear. So you're not going to find design work. What sets us apart in the marketplace is our fresh ideas, our high quality products, and our design work. And we print it all, I mean, and embroider it all in-house in Auburn, Alabama. So we're not outsourcing production. That's another differentiator because our quality control is top notch.
You've been at this over 10 years now, and there's always moments in business where you go, you know, this is working. You know, moments that where you feel validated that you should keep going, that encourage you. What is one of those moments for you?
There's been lots of these over the years. I would say I kind of think about my business as, you know, pre-kids era and then post-kids era. But like before kids, we used to stock inventory. We used to outsource production. And I'll never forget one of those early moments where we dropped a new collection. It was all sitting on the shelf, ready to ship. And we sold out in minutes. And I'm like, okay, there really isn't, like, I set out to change the game for women and kids in this space, and then doing it and it works and it sells out, you're like, oh, okay, this is working. This actually is a problem. This actually is a niche and a hole that needs to be filled. And then you do it again and it works, and then you do it again and it works. It's like, okay, that's the validation of whatever your niche is or whatever the problem you're trying to solve is it gaining traction? And over the years, it's just consistently gained traction. And we've had to pivot and do different things. But as a whole, people keep coming back, and repeat customers and new customers and word of mouth. And so the product sales on a new launch, I think, is always going to be evident of what's working and what's not working.
How often are you doing new product drops?
We do new design drops about 2 to 3 times a year. So one of the things that differentiates us in the collegiate space for merch is we do sports specific merchandise. So we have not just like Auburn general merchandise. So we have Auburn basketball, Auburn football, Auburn softball, even sports like Auburn equestrian and gymnastics. And so it really like taps into those hardcore fans of the different sports. And then we do this for all of our schools, depending on what sports they have. So,
Yeah, you're helpful. Really drilling down into those, you know, individual niches. Equestrian.
Oh, yeah, I know. And like the Auburn equestrian team is number one. And so we have the cutest. One of the things that we do too is mascot illustration. So for the schools that have mascots, it's really fun. So like we have Auburn equestrian design of Abby, our beloved mascot, riding a horse, and it sold like crazy. So it's cool to just tap into what makes each school unique, whether that's traditions, campus landmarks, fight song, a creed, and then specific sports. Like, we want to bring the school to life through merchandise.
You know, what's funny is I asked you, I'm like, well, you know, what are the big wins that validated you? And you're like, hey, customers buying, right?
Yeah.
But you've been on the Today Show, haven't you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's been validating too. Like, we've been had big features, big press features like Glamour Magazine and the Today Show. And we've been on back when Kathy Lee and Hoda were doing their segment on their favorite things multiple times, and had a lot of huge influencers posting about our stuff. And that's very validating because they get sent so many things, and the fact that it stood out enough to be chosen and featured in these different publications. We've been in Us Magazine, like it's cool. It's really cool. But I will say that like so many business owners, like talking to a business owner that's new and wants those press features, like it is so cool and validating. However, as a business, we care the most about revenue and sales, and those big press features never drove sales in the volume that you would think on the mass publication.
There's no Hoda bump?
I mean, there is a bump, but it's not what you would, I guess I just expected it to be like, oh my goodness, like, wow. But there was definitely a bump, but I don't want anybody new in business to think, if I can just get on the Today Show, this business is going to make it. Like, why we are still in business 12 years later is the daily grind, staying fresh, being able to pivot, change when things are not working, and persevere when things are working.
You know, that it really is candid and fantastic advice from someone who's been there.
Yeah.
Now, you have seen a pretty big bump in sales, almost 90%. Year over year. What's driving that if it's not Hoda?
I would say this year specifically, and that number is not year over year. It is, but just for March specifically. We've seen massive growth this year over last year because of our NIL partnership with Janai Broom and Dylan Cardwell. And I will say so much of that is tied to Janai Broom is the number one player on what was the number one team. I think we're now ranked number three, but there is so much excitement within the Auburn fan base about Auburn basketball. And so being in this space, it is a roller coaster ride. I mean, the high highs and the low lows are 100% dependent on the success of the teams. People are not buying game day merch if the teams are not doing well. They're not going to games if they're not good. And so we have years where sales are super high for a certain school because their team is super successful. And then in the flip of a switch, sales are down because the next season or the next sport isn't very good. So I would attribute that growth to our partnerships with two of the most exciting players on the Auburn basketball team, but also because the team as a whole is doing so well. People are very excited about Auburn basketball right now.
I mean, do you follow tournaments and then figure out like what it, and then that drives merchandising strategy?
It does. I mean, we obviously aren't going to put a new collection together for a team that isn't doing well. But our teams, like, we have 24 different licenses. And so we will put a new, like, hot market type basketball collection together for the schools that are doing well. So it is really important to follow that if you're in this space.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. And then on the site, I see there's a collection called Ready to Ship. And we've got that in the main menu.
Yes.
So most of the stuff is pre-order?
It's print on demand. So
okay.
One of the things, a huge business pivot we made about 3 years ago is we brought production in-house. We used to outsource production. And when you asked about like when things stop working, outsourcing production stopped working for me because the quality, we worked with so many different print shops and the quality just continued to decline. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I was done outsourcing production. And I was like, we are bringing this in-house. We got a space. We went from an online-only business to a physical space. We hired about 20 employees. We ordered machines. We learned how to produce products in-house. And then a year later, we brought all of our print-on-demand business. We used to outsource print-on-demand to massive companies and were consistently frustrated. Like when Auburn Navy is printing purple, it just doesn't work. Like you've got, when you're in this space, you've got to get the school colors right. And so we ended up bringing print on demand in-house too. So we produce all of our online orders on demand in-house in Auburn and then ship them to our customers all over the United States. Which is really fun. Like we get to see what everyone's ordering. We get to touch and feel and package their orders. We do have some items that are sitting produced in stock, but everything else is printed on demand, meaning when you go on our site and order, then we have a fulfillment software that goes and orders your garment, ships it to us, we produce it, and then ship it out to you.
Oh, that's clever. So yeah. You don't stock the blanks.
We don't, which has been really pivotal for our business because inventory is expensive.
Yeah, so this is it's a just-in-time manufacturing approach.
Yes.
They place the order. You then automatically order the blanks,
yes.
But then do the finishing. Like
yes.
You go, obviously, like why manufacture the t-shirt?
Right.
But then you've got, I assume, like silk screening or direct-to-garment or embroidery.
Yeah. It's we do direct-to-garment in-house and embroidery in-house. And then direct to film transfers in-house. So yeah, it's been really the number one reason we've been able to grow because I'm a small business. I'm 100% owner. I don't have equity firms and a bunch of cash that I have access to. So we've had to grow in a sustainable way. And there's no way I could stock the number of designs that we have for all these different schools if it was all in inventory on the shelf. Because you never know, like being in the apparel space, like I remember back when we did preprint and stock inventory, we would we produced this bestseller is the Auburn Creed design. And we did it on gray, like a gray V-neck t-shirt. And we had customers email and they're like, oh, I love this so much, but I want it on navy. And I'm like, well, I have 50 orange gray, gray shirts that I have to sell before I can even print it on navy. And so now we can offer all these different options and we don't have to sit on the inventory. So it's been really game changing for us.
That is a really clever way to go about it. I just, on Shopify, the apparel is a big vertical. You know, I don't know if it's still number one, but it always
it's
huge.
Yeah.
And so a lot of Shopify's, features, apps, et cetera, are really geared toward apparel. I think life becomes easier on Shopify if you're doing apparel. Are there, you know, I don't know if you feel the same way, but are there like tools, features, apps that are indispensable in those day-to-day operations for Scarlet and Gold?
Definitely. Some of the ones that we use like consistently, and they're not, some of them are kind of tied to apparel, but not necessarily, but the Better Reports app has been game-changing for us because inherently in Shopify's reporting tools, they're just limited. And so we, through the Better Reporting app, we can run tag-based reports. So I can, for everything that's tagged Auburn basketball, I can now run a report and know what our Auburn basketball specific sales are, or like Auburn baseball or Tennessee gymnastics, you know, whatever it is. Like they, like we can run granular reports to know like how much across all of our schools, how much is sport specific merch selling? Like, do Tennessee fans want Tennessee football stuff? Do Clemson fans want Clemson basketball stuff? Or is it more just the generic stuff selling? So that app has been great. We have I think it's called Zapiet, in-store pickup app. So we have a retail store in Auburn. And so a lot of our Auburn-based customers don't want to pay shipping and want to pick up their order from our storefront. And so the in-store pickup app has been great because Shopify does have an in-store pickup option, but it's limited. And then the next app that we use really consistently is called Stock, STOQ. We released that recently for our very specialty woven label collection. It's in stock, ready to ship, sells out really quickly collection, and it enables back in stock notifications. So if it sells out really quick, people can enter their email address to know when it'll be back in stock. And then, you can do pre-orders through that too. I mean, we don't typically offer pre-orders because logistically it's a lot. But yeah, those are apps that have been key for us.
What do you use for email out of curiosity?
We use Flowdesk, and I am a big fan of Flowdesk because you don't pay per subscriber. A lot of these other email platforms have a lot more capabilities, but you pay per subscriber and it is so expensive. I mean, we have a massive list and I just can't swing, you know, multiple $1,000s a month for an email platform when I have something that will work just as good for what we're using it for. So, and we're very visual, like we're a very high design visual company. And so I want our emails to be beautiful, and they are. And so Flowdesk allows you to create beautiful emails easily. Very much recommend Flowdesk.
Going back to this big March Madness growth spike you've seen really has to be based on these athlete licenses. How do you even go about approaching those deals? Do they have agents or just like DM somebody? I wouldn't know where to begin.
Yeah. Well, everyone's different. So I can tell you, like, we're working with Dylan Cardwell and Janai Broom. Dylan does have an agent, but we typically just communicate directly through him. Janai has an agent and we're mostly communicating through him. So, I would say step one, look up the player. A lot of times if they have an agent, it's listed in their bio on Instagram or Twitter or whatever the social platform is. And then just reach out. Like, we either reach out on Instagram, we have a connection to them, or we reach out to their agent and pitch ourselves. So, I mean, you have to think they're probably, like, especially Auburn basketball players right now, because of the hype of the season, they're getting reached out to by so many different brands. So, what differentiates yourself? We pitch typically with a specific idea. Like, we put together this Janai Broom Player of the Year design and shirt and concept. And so we pitched with that. And they loved it. And we're like, yes, this is an easy yes. You've already done all the work. Like, where do we sign? So I think that helps a lot. Like, if you're putting all the work on the player to come up with the idea and all of that, they don't have time. So I think, what is your idea? Pitch it and see what happens.
You know, when you phrase it, it sounds so straightforward. I'm like, well, why wouldn't I do that?
Totally. I mean, it's more complicated too. And one of the things that we have going for us that a lot of people don't is we're also licensed by the school. So we can do co-branded Jani Broom Auburn merch, or Dylan Cardwell Auburn merch, or for any of our 24 schools, we could do player specific merch and the school. If you're not licensed by the university, you would just have to do player specific merch. And I think that's going to hurt sales a lot, because, you know, the school, the fan base wants the co-branded merch. They want the Clemson player merch or the Alabama player merch, not just like generic player specific. So that gives us a leg up and rules out a lot of people who don't have a license for these different schools.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for people who've not dealt with it, these licenses are big money and serious business, and they don't mess around.
They do not mess around. Yeah, I mean, I would say my number one recommendation is don't toe the line and don't try to create merch and profit off of a brand like Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, any of these schools are their own brands. And you try to profit off of these brands towing the line, and you're going to get your hand slapped, and they can take your merchandise. So go about it the right way. We've been licensed for 13 years and just for Auburn and Alabama, and then just started growing into other schools a couple years ago outside of the state. And it's a beast. We employ a person on staff to handle all of our license applications, the admin side, the reporting, making sure all the boxes are checked. It's a lot, but it's a huge revenue stream for us. And as a licensee, I'm a huge advocate for people to be licensed and do things the right way. And if you don't, you're going to get turned in. Like, I have no problem turning somebody in who's doing things illegally, because
you're like, look, I put in the effort.
Yeah. I'm like, there are rules here, and I spend a lot of money to do this the right way. And I pay out 20% of sales in royalties to the school for student scholarships. Like, you're gypping students of robbing students of scholarship money, cheating the system, and it's wrong. So, yeah, I will turn people in. People send me stuff all the time, and I will turn it in to the school in 2 seconds, and then the school will handle it. So that's really nice. Like, they have a legal team that handles all of that.
All right. So don't mess around when it comes to those.
Get licensed.
I've heard a lot about your success. It can't all be wins here. There has to be some oh no, some uh-oh moments, right? I want to know one of your biggest uh-oh moments.
Yeah. So I can tell you two. So back to when we decided to bring production in-house, like sitting here today, I would consider it a win. But for the last 3 years, there was a lot of uh-oh moments. So I'll tell you about one of them. We ordered these machines, we hired staff, and we had no clue what we were doing. Like, literally no clue. They deliver these printers to us and this embroidery machine, and I'm like, how do you turn it on?
And it's like industrial equipment, right?
Yes, yes. And so we're like watching all the videos, and it's super complex and a multi-step process, and it's like a math equation. Like, you have to spray a certain amount of pre-treat to make sure the ink lays down right. And again, we have no clue. Like, we're testing it and we're like, why are there ink puddles on the shirt? Why is this not working? Like, why, how come after we press it, it smears? And so 3 months into producing in-house, we got a giant order from Bonnie Plants. They are a local business and a nation, but they're based locally, but they're not a national business. And when I tell you we were faking it till we made it, that, I mean that in every sense of the word. So we get this order and we're like, okay, we got to figure out how to produce this. And anytime our team who was there in the beginning sees the Bonnie Plants logo, we're like, ah, it takes us back, because we had to damage out so many shirts as we tried to get the pre-treat amount right, the ink volume right. it was an uh-oh moment big time. It's like, we did figure it out. We produced the order. It was great. But it was heck in the process of figuring that out. And there's still moments. Like, we had a huge order from this nonprofit in Birmingham that we just did. And we didn't realize that our dryer that we run all, like, cure all the ink in, was too hot. And we are having to damage out that entire order and replace it. And so, it was a huge uh-oh moment for us. But at the same time, longevity of our business, if we make a mistake, we're going to replace it and we're going to make it right. I would never tell a company who spent thousands of dollars with us, sorry, your shirts are damaged. Like, and that's, I was on the receiving end of that by other print shops. They're like, oh, well, sorry. Like, it wasn't like that when we left the shop. And
those,
I'm like,
rats.
Yeah. And so it's horrible customer service. And I refuse to be that. And so there's been a lot of uh-oh moments, but in business ownership and entrepreneurship, it's all about how you recover. Like, how do you learn from it? Don't beat yourself up. Is it a failure? I mean, you can call it that if you want to, but it's a learning lesson more than that. And it's not about how many times you fall down. It's like what you learn from it and how you come back from that. We're not going to have dryer setting issues anymore. And we now know what ink volume to use on body plants logos. And, we've learned a lot and we've gained so much more confidence in what we're doing. So yeah, there's a lot of wins and there's a lot of, oh no, this is a major whiff.
Hey, still struggling to increase AOV? You've built a great store, but your upsells and cross-sells, they're underperforming. That's because outdated apps rely on guesswork, and that costs you real money. Enter Zipify One-Click Upsell. Their AI-powered tech finds the highest converting upsell for every customer. No complicated setup needed. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So if your upsells still run like they did 5 years ago, it's time to upgrade. Get Zipify One-Click Upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Try AI-powered upsells today.
The trick really is keep going, right?
Yeah, totally.
Where people get in trouble, and for sure I've caught myself doing this, is you make the mistake, discover the issue, and then you beat yourself up over it.
Yeah.
And the thing I have to remind myself is like, hey, until you've done something 100 times, no matter what it is, you probably don't really know what you're doing. And if you did it right the first time, that was just beginner's luck.
Right.
You can't get upset with yourself for trying and failing. You could beat yourself up over failing and then just, you know, wallowing in it. But no, just keep going.
One of the biggest assets I can recommend for any organization is doing the Clifton Strengths Test for everyone that works with you. So we just did it recently through a company called Strength to Summit, and they will come in and do the Clifton Strengths Test on everyone and train everybody on what your strengths are, because everyone brings different strengths to the table. And one of the assets for me is that I'm a number one activator. That is like the number one strength for me. And I learn by doing. And so, and I'm also like not emotional really at all. And so I advise that, like, I think leading with emotion is very difficult, because how you feel today is different than how you'll feel tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So it's not a firm foundation to stand on. And so you've got to separate these emotions. And for me, I learn by doing. So I'm going to try a bunch of things. And if it fails, like, there's no emotion tied to that. It's like, it didn't work. Let's just move on. Let's try something else. Why didn't it work? I always want to evaluate, like, what worked, what didn't work, and why. And then we try something else. And so the more you can have a disconnect between all those emotions and what actually happened, I think is valuable to a business owner. Because again, like, if you wallow in your feelings and you're like, oh, I'm beating myself up, I'm a failure, you're not a failure. It just didn't work. What you tried didn't work. So try something else. Like, there shouldn't be all this emotion attached to it.
I think there's a lot of people, myself included, who can relate and appreciate that advice. Yeah. I mean, as an entrepreneur, that is not a life skill. That's a life superpower.
Yeah, it really is. And so the more you can disconnect from like the toxic thoughts and the emotion tied to what worked and what didn't work. And same thing for the highs. Like, there's high highs and high lows. Like, sometimes there's a lot of credit that should be taken for high highs, but sometimes it's just like a happenstance. Like, this, it just
right place, worked. Right time.
Yeah, right place, right time. And so you can't ride the roller coaster of the highs and lows. Like, the more you can be steady and unemotional and just keep working hard and evaluate what's working and what's not working and pivoting based on that, the more you're going to win in business.
Man, that's a good takeaway. We should end the interview right here. That is fantastic. But all right, you've been at this 13 years.
Yeah.
You're bootstrapping it. You're not doing easy things. I want to know, looking to the future, are there trends, shifts, things you see happening that Shopify merchants should be aware of?
There's always things happening and changing, especially in the merchandise business. I mean, you've got to stay ahead of the trends and be aware of what the trends are, and adapt. So within like the e-commerce space, I would say gifting influencers is still a trend. I think there is still such, like, while we do print on demand and that has become so much more of a trend for small businesses to take off, there, I can't even express how much value there is in selling out. I tell my team all the time, we've brought on this in like stocked, ready to ship collection, and when it's gone, it's gone, because with print on demand, it's always available. There's really no selling out unless the blank sells out, which is rare. But there is so much value in supply and demand. And when it's gone, it's gone. And we have created so much internal momentum and external momentum because of scarcity and the idea of things are going to sell out. And so I would say that's still a trend, and finding these apps like Stock where you can have people subscribe when something is out of stock, then you know, should I reorder it or should you not? It's very valuable insight to make better decisions. So I think that has been around for a long time, the whole idea of supply and demand and scarcity, but it's still incredibly relevant.
Yeah, as long as it's authentic and genuine,
yeah.
it really is a motivating tactic,
yeah.
Especially when it's, you could do a series of drops on products where you go like, these are limited, we're only going to do so many for this time.
Well, it has to be authentic. Like, that's one of the things that I tell people all the time that I'm coaching is, people, if you're going to lead in any space, people have to be able to trust you. And you have to mean what you say, and you have to do what you say, and you have to be real and trustworthy and somebody that people want to follow, and people don't want to follow a fraud. So yes, that is like absolutely number one essential. Like, it has to be authentic in what you do. Like, you lie to your customers or try to manipulate them, like, it, they will see through it in 2 seconds.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
You know, my internal benchmark is, I call it MEL, is this moral, ethical, legal. All right, if we could pass those three benchmarks, now let's decide if we should proceed with whatever the idea is.
Totally, totally.
So where do you see Scarlet and Gold going in the next year?
I would say, like, last year was a huge year of growth for us, and we have completely maxed out our space. Like, we really don't have any more room to add any equipment. So I would love for the next 2 years to just be not necessarily maintaining, but refining our processes. Like, while we've been in business for 13 years, we're still very new to producing in-house. That's a baby side of our business. And I want to get even better and more confident. I want my team to be more confident and really grow and develop leaders within my team. Because I'm a mom and I'm a coach's wife. My husband coaches high school basketball and I'm a mom of three boys, seven and under. And the more my team can rise up and lead, the more I can step back and be present in life. The last 3 years especially have been a grind for me, and I've been incredibly hands-on in the business, and I never want to be hands-off, but I would love to be able to step away more than I do.
No, you're right. I think when I think of business growth, especially a bootstrap business, phase three is, can we have leaders who aren't the business owner? Can we get people, you know, to go from employee to leader so that, you can confidently step back and take things off your plate?
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to go about it.
Yeah.
If you could go back, because you have learned so much, but I bet it blows your mind what 2013 Megan didn't know that she didn't know. What advice would you give yourself?
I would say growth looks very shiny when you look around and you look side to side. But 2013 Megan wasn't a mom. One of the things that I've learned is I need to know what my life will look like attached to that kind of growth. And I need to make sure that I'm okay with that. Like making the jump to producing in-house, my life drastically changed. I went from working part-time, running an online, managing an online only team of five people, to running an in-person organization, 25 plus employees, massively high stress because we were trying to figure this out. And I was not prepared. We've had a lot of growth. Even last year, we had so much growth. We doubled our space. We went from like a 1900 square foot space to a 4000 square foot space. We added about 6 to 7 new machines, lots of employees. There was a lot of days last year that like I came home with nothing left for my family. And that's not what I want for life. That's not the kind of mother that I want to be. It's not the kind of wife I want to be. And so growth is great. But you can't, growth at that level is not sustainable, to be present in life too. And then also like growth is only as good as you can handle it well. Like I've seen a lot over the last 12 years, 13 years, small businesses go under because they grew too big too fast. And they can get enticed by this opportunity and take their business down a path that they never should have said yes to. And I've made mistakes like that over the years. So just making sure that you can handle the growth well, because you take all these orders and you can't fulfill them, then you have a massive PR issue on your hands. So, I mean, entrepreneurship is great, but it's not for the faint of heart. It's not easy. And it takes a lot of perseverance and thick skin, because I've had a lot of success and had been told yes a lot of times, but for every yes, I've been told no infinitely more times.
You know, that also sounds like good takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. It's this life, being an entrepreneur, has provided a great life for my family. And I'm so grateful for the flexibility. I love working for myself. I love being able to call the shots. Like I tell my team all the time, we make the rules. So if this is too much or this is too stressful, like I care deeply about our organizational culture. And I think that matters. The culture that you create matters more than anything else. You can have great product, but if your employees hate working for you, it's going to show at some point. And to me, it goes back to building trust. Like, why should customers support you when you treat your employees terribly or you have a horrible work culture? We have an amazing work culture. And I would not be where I am without my current team and the team that I've had along the way. Like every person who's poured into this place, it has been such an asset. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say takeaway, entrepreneurship is an incredible thing and it's so fun. It is a roller coaster. It is high highs and low lows, and you've got to figure out how to steady out the roller coaster and not ride the waves, and grow in a way that you want to match up to the life that you want.
That is great advice, Megan. I've done hundreds of these interviews. There are some stories that nurture my soul. You know, as an entrepreneur, they're chicken soup for my soul. This is one of them.
I love that. Thank you
for sharing it with
me. I'm so glad. I always want to leave people better than I found them.
So if people wanted to check out Scarlet and Gold or learn more about your story, where should they go?
So you can check out our custom site, scarletandgoldcustom.com. That's where we do all of our custom merch. Or you can check out our shop site, scarletandgoldshop.com. And you can find both places on both sites. And you can read about me and our history all there.
Beautiful. scarletandgold.com. We'll check it out. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.